Shira Simmons.
To Shira Simmons.
And hopefully our conversation will live up to the hype.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome back to another episode of Freedom of Truth. Woo! Start off by saying, as you guys know, this is something new. This is the second time I'm doing this, my second episode of doing a live taping with a Q&A. And I just want to say, first and foremost, I want to thank my guest, because this woman, Chrissy Monroe, always comes through for me every time I ask. And that's what I'm talking about. That's women and empowerment.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? And supporting one another. Because I'm so early on in my journey, and this has been a struggle, because anything you know God has called you to do is going to be a lot of obstacles. So I appreciate everyone that's here, you know, for just coming along with this journey, on this journey with me, because it means a lot. And I'm telling you guys, it's going to keep blowing and blowing and blowing. And you guys going to be like, remember that time you was in Yonkers at Uptown Grill? And now look where that girl at now.
Yep. Yes.
That's right. So I appreciate you guys coming and supporting. And thank you to everybody out there that's consistently listening. My numbers were great this month with the last podcast. And I just appreciate the support. I really do. It's for a purpose. It's from my heart. I just had to start off by saying that. So I have an amazing guest, like I said, Chrissy Monroe, here at the Freedom of Truth podcast in Uptown Grill in Yonkers. Thank you for having me once again. So guys, I'm a little extra cheerful, because I don't know if you guys are aware of someone that's an empath, and I'm an empath. So I suck up people's energies and their spirits. And I have this live wire next to me that got me jumping around and real extra right now. When you guys tune in on my YouTube channel, you'll see. But I just, without any further ado, I want to introduce the lovely and beautiful Chrissy Monroe. Well, for those who don't know, she's better known from the Love & Hip Hop Show New York Season 5. She was something else and something to reckon with when she was on that show, honey. I don't know if y'all saw that. But if you guys, if the name is not ringing bells, go check out Love & Hip Hop New York Season 5. That's where, you know, when Chrissy, I would say that was your break. Where is that? Would you say that?
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody started.
Absolutely. I've been in the industry since I've been 12, modeling, acting. But by far, VH1, of course, was my biggest hit, biggest break.
Wow. Absolutely. Great. That's dope. And okay, so on that note too, as far as reality show, love reality show. I've been on a few. A lot of it is scripted. Yeah, scripted, right? So we're gonna start off with the Love & Hip Hop, because like I said, I love how you're so transparent in Love & Hip Hop. I just love that about you. What was the experience on there, and how did it even come about?
Wow, good question. Well. It was a great experience, actually. You know, it's like, be careful what you wish for. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland. You know, a lot of you guys seen Baltimore on The Wire. It's very much like that. You know, born and raised. I grew up around a lot of drugs and crime and things like that. And I always said, one day I want to be on TV. I want to model. I want to act, whatever. And I knew I kind of hit the ceiling down there with being extras on the shows that they were filming between Baltimore and D.C. I said, I'm never going to really get to where I want to be staying here. And they call it Smalltimore, because everybody kind of knows each other. Mm. So I said, if I don't leave Baltimore and go to New York, I'm never really going to get to that level that I see myself at, that I think God really wants to pull me towards. So I just basically packed up my stuff and left at the age of 29. I had a successful clothing store. I owned a house that was paid off. I left everything, got rid of it, and started over. The dead of winter, I knew two people when I moved here. And I said, you know what? No matter what I do, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to stay focused and I'm going to make it happen. And, you know, unfortunately, I had a lot of people in my life trying to discourage me from getting that far. My own mother told me before I left for Baltimore, you're never going to make it. You're going to meet me right back. You're not going to make it. There's younger, prettier girls than you. And so how it came to be is that fire that I always had in me when I came here. Like, I gave up my whole life to come here and make
that's
it happen.
Huge.
Yeah, and I had haters. My own mother was my biggest hater. So I said, it's no matter what, I don't have an option to fail.
Right.
So, you know, through the years, you know, it didn't happen immediately. I didn't get on Love & Hip Hop until I was over 40 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and most people would have given up, like, oh, I'm too old. And even some of the producers were like, you know, we kind of look for a younger cast. I said, no, I'm not buying that. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
No, I'm a young spirit.
That's right.
So, a good friend of mine, she's actually DJ Khaled's fiance, Nicole, had a friend who knew a friend who worked in production on the Atlanta cast. And I said, listen, I'm watching this show, and this is my real life. I've been dating athletes, rappers, doing all that hoochie shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I need to be on Love & Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So she made a call, Nicole made a call, and the rest is history. I went into Mona's office, all fabulous with my little dog, sold myself, and like they love my personality, and the rest is history. Yeah, so it was just that one, it's who you know. It's not even, you know, it's true, it's who you know.
Who you know, yes. And speak it into existence.
Yes.
That's dope. I love
so,
that.
Overall, it was an excellent, excellent experience for me. You know, a lot of people going like, oh, they did me dirty on the show. They can't do you dirty if you're not giving them the content to play you with.
Exactly.
Like, I knew not to go on there all wasted and tripping over shit, making a fool, because I know they don't want to use the footage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, it was a great opportunity. It opened up a lot of doors for me, and it was a blessing. So, yeah, it was wonderful being on Love & Hip Hop. I love
yeah,
it.
So that's good. I yeah. like that. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Motivated, you know what I'm saying? Being positive and just basically controlling the atmosphere. Like, you know what I'm saying? Controlling what you want to do.
Gotcha.
It's so many people out there that just can't do that. So many women, so many men that they have this dream but they can't activate it. And that's just right there. That was just so inspiring.
Thank you.
It really was. So the dopest part about what I love what you just now said though was that you took a platform and turn it into something so amazing. Like, you didn't just continue, you know what I mean? You went to something else that you wanted to do that was in your heart. So I know that you have this foundation called Survive to Thrive.
Mm-hmm.
I love that name, like that's dope. What is the Survive to Thrive about? Like, and how did that come about? Because after Love & Hip Hop, so how did that happen? Did they ask you not to come back? Or like, you know, how does that even
okay,
work?
So a lot of people ask me, oh, why didn't you go back to the show? Because I was on there with a guy, obviously a married man. If anybody watched that season, I was on there with someone named Chink Santana. He was married to his wife for over 20 years, since high school. And he kept promising me he was going to get a divorce. We were together for 2 years. And it just wasn't happening. Like, I knew he was lying to me. And then he started with the cheaper to keep her lies, like, oh, I'm gonna have to give her half my house and kind of deal with it.
Mm.
I said, no, I've wasted 2 years already. I'll be damned if I'm gonna waste two more minutes with this shit. So
right.
I was out. So for me to be back on the show, I would have had to continue with him. And I couldn't stand him at this time. Like, I could not stand him. So we severed all ties. He wanted to do another season. I did not. I hung up the phone. He was like, no, I can't. Because he's out of control. No, he is crazy. A lot of shit you didn't see on the show.
Wow.
Crazy. All right, so anyway. So, like about maybe a year after I left the show, I was hosting a charity event in Harlem. And I met a young man, very fine. Like, I was like, damn, where'd he come from? Like, looked like a model. Like, I mean, cute, hot. So I was like, damn, you know, whatever. So I met this guy. He was, I think, 12 years younger than me or something at the time. I didn't care. He looked good. You know what I'm saying? And I was lonely, you know what I'm saying? So when you get into the entertainment business, a lot of fake people start coming your way. They all want to be your friend. You know, you can see right through the phoniness.
Yeah.
So it was lonely for me. Like, I had just been from, like, nobody knew me to being everywhere I go. I couldn't even go to CVS to buy tampons because it's, Christy, can I get a tampon? I'm like, can you wait a minute? Like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm like, it was weird for me. So I wanted somebody because I really have no family. I needed someone in my life that I could talk to be there for me. Like, so I latched on to this loser because he was fine, but ended up being a loser. So it became an abusive relationship. It escalated pretty quickly. You know, it started out with the emotional abuse, and a lot of people don't know what emotional abuse is. It's the ignoring you, denying you for sex, where you start questioning yourself, like, damn, did I gain weight? Do I look ugly? Like, they start playing the mental mind Jedi tricks on you. Then it became verbally abuse, like the verbal attacks. You bitch, you ugly, you fat, you old, all that. And I'm like, you know what? Get out. But this time, he was already living in my house. anyway, talk about mistakes. It's called, you know, I have a very codependent personality, growing up in such a, you know, being abandoned by mother and stuff like that at a young age. So I was like, oh my God, maybe some of the stuff he's saying is true. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you start believing it every day once they start every day. I don't care how mentally strong you are. It will wear your ass out if you keep hearing this shit every day by somebody you care about. And then it became physically abusive where he almost killed me. I have permanent hearing damage in my left ear. This tooth is bonded because he punched me in my mouth and chipped my tooth. Cracked ribs, black eyes, you name it. So, you know, it's a longer story than that. I got out through the grace of God, thank God. I pressed charges.
Thank God. Thank you. He was even strong enough to even, you know what I mean?
You know, you got to. You know, it was just, it was very hard for me because I almost lost everything I had. He wanted to see me lose. He was, you know, a lot of these men are bigger haters than females. He was jealous of me. He, in his mind, didn't believe I deserved all the success that I had worked so hard for. You know what I'm saying? So
what was he about?
Nothing.
Because I always ask when people are like that, like, what is their backstory?
Yeah, he had even stolen $10,000 worth of diamond jewelry from me. Like, he didn't think I deserved to have everything I had. But what have you ever accomplished besides jail time?
Right.
It's not my fault that you chose the path. You know, I had a hard life too. It doesn't mean that I got to blame other people. So, long story short, I got
Amen
out of that.
To that.
Thank you. So, long story short, I got out of the abusive relationship and I said, you know what? I have a hell of a platform from reality TV. And people judge me. I don't give a fuck what they say about Love and Hip Hop. They could call it ratchet. Some may think it's a ratchet show, but in my opinion, it's a big show. It's worldwide.
Yes, it is.
I can use this platform to get my voice out there to help people, because I know so many other women who have gone through domestic violence, abuse, men too. Mm-hmm. Shame on me if I don't get out and do something. Because as much as I thought I wanted to move here to be on TV and that was going to be so fulfilling to me, once I got it, I was like, this really ain't all that, and the money really ain't all that. Like, this is it. Once I started Survive and Thrive Global, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit, and I started helping people and started getting out there and telling my stories, that was more fulfilling than any Love and Hip Hop, any TV could ever be. So I've devoted my life to the cause of helping and educating and spreading awareness of, you know, towards domestic violence. And so far, so good. I started that in 2016, and it's just my life's purpose. I believe that that out of that bad came all this good.
Wow. I think that's good. So through Survive to Thrive, what really moved me about Chrissy's foundation was all the resources. Because a lot of foundations that what I've learned as I've went on and just, you know, trying to build my own, a lot of times they don't produce a lot of resources. You know, it's like mainly, well, you know, they can go feed the homeless, which is nothing wrong with that, or you know, help whatever cause that they're representing, but they never follow through. From what I've seen, a lot of them don't, the way you have.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about a few of the things that they literally have came through for.
Okay, so of course, here I am. I'm a high school dropout with a GED, but all I knew is, you know, I had it in my heart to help people. I didn't know how I was gonna start, what I was gonna do. I don't know how to run a nonprofit. Luckily, I have a friend, a good friend of mine, Claudia Pollack, who is a nonprofit attorney. She's actually started the foundation for me, and she's on my board of directors. She's like, just listen, just get it together, I'll help you. She's like, you gotta pay me, just pay for the filings and stuff like that, and we'll just take it one day at a time. So I was like, well, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I knew I didn't wanna do counseling, because I don't wanna be that person that's gonna tell you, oh, well, girl, you should fight back, and then you end up getting killed, and well, Chrissy told me to fight back, or she told my sister to do this, and she got her, it's Chrissy's fault. I don't want to be liable. I'm not a licensed counselor. I can only share my experiences. So one of the things that we offer is me just basically being so transparent. Just having the social media, the Facebook and the Instagram, people thank me because it's a place where everybody can come that have similar experiences and meet each other and network. And I also give the option to share your story. I tell them, send me 3 paragraphs or less if you want to send pictures. You know, people want to be heard. People want to tell their story. Because you know what? They've been so beaten down and nobody listened. Their families already isolated them, because that's what abusers do. They isolate you from your friends and family for control. They are just thankful to have an Instagram page where they can tell their story and be heard. That's one thing. And then I said, wait a minute. I'm a business person too. I know how to use my leverage. as far as my social media followers. I'm getting paid to float, to post flat tummy tea and all this other shit. Why can't I reach out to business owners that I know to promote them for free, and they donate their services to victims and survivors of domestic violence?
Right.
So, therefore, I got Steinway Dental in Astoria, Queens. They donate free dental cosmetic repair for victims of crime, and they get reimbursed through the New York State Victims Crime Fund. There's, you know, there's a fund.
Nice.
So they get paid. I'm advertising you, and then the person who needs help, get their teeth fixed. They get their confidence back to go on job interviews and things. I also have a plastic surgery business, so the plastic surgeons that I work with, they love giving back. So, you know, sometimes a woman has been burnt in the face with a cigarette and things like that. Who has $2,000 to go get skin grafting or scar removal? These doctors are generous. Dr. David Chakrian is one, my favorite, to donate their services to these women who need help, and men. But I say women because I'm a woman. It's more me related. Because I always get them out. Men too. We acknowledge you. I get it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they donate their services. So what is it to me? It's not costing me money. It's not costing the doctor money. And it's not costing me. Everybody's just kind of, it's a circle. And everybody benefits. You know what I'm saying?
Who's in the middle? You are.
I'm kind of the connector.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? We have fundraisers where we can help people catch up on the rent a little bit. Things like that. Different little people reach out to me. Like, we had a lady, Esther Jimenez, in Dominican Republic this year. Her ex came and threw Drano on her when she was at work. Her eye is missing. She's permanently scarred for life. She has three children. We had a clothing drive for her in Harlem a few months ago where we shipped a whole huge barrel of stuff for her and her children.
That gave me tears in my eyes. You literally showed like someone. I don't know if you guys, do you have any girl?
It's on the Instagram. Yeah, it's on the Survivor Global
page. Oh my God, they walked. They you showed someone coming down with all the clothes and
the groceries.
Groceries,
we sent money over for groceries because one of her friends over there wrote in Spanish to my friend that sometimes that she doesn't have food for days. It's that bad. So, you know, Survivor Global was for people like her that really, really need help, and that she don't even ask. We want to help you. You don't gotta ask us. You know what I'm saying? So,
And how do you find people from people?
Social media. Like my friend Deborah found her, and she's just been like, we want somebody. We're people that just want to help her. And you know what's so great with her? I kept saying, I wish we could move her out over there. Like, but we're over here. There's only so much we honestly can do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Through the grace of God, she went to a pastor she had met outside and said, just random, can you give me a Bible? He said, sure. He came by her house and saw the dwelling with no door, where the rain would come in and she's got to mop it out. Dirty, no lights. They stole her electronic generator or whatever. They came by and not only gave her a Bible, him and his wife saw how she was living in squalor. They came and gutted it, renovated it, new furniture, and now they're building her a whole new house. Will he do it?
God,
I'm telling you,
good.
Yes.
God is
so
good.
It's just amazing how things work. So, so that's some of the things that we do. I'm always open to anybody that wants to reach out to donate their services. Reach out. You know, I'd love to
shout
you out on Instagram.
This is somebody who's coming through with you. Like, she's not only talking it, she's walking it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people say they want to help, but they don't know how. I'm going to let you help, and I'm going to show you how to help. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I know plenty of people that need it. So,
yes. And so I'm trying to think with this. You said that, you have a skincare line too.
I'm about to launch that.
Yes.
Because you know what it is? It's like you posting other people's stuff, they're giving you a little payment. I'm like, you know what? I'm bigger than this. I need to post my own shit and keep 100% and make my own money instead of posting, promoting somebody else's brand. Let me post my own. Win or lose, I started with my own money. Building it up. It's called Bella Milan Beauty, which is going to be launching next month. Yes.
That's pretty, Bella Milan.
Yes, like exotic, like Milan. You know, it just sounds rich. You know what I'm saying? Luxurious. Yes. And it wasn't taken on GoDaddy. Yes.
Everything's taken on GoDaddy.
Yeah, girl. So I was like, ding, bingo, jackpot. So it's an all natural, cruelty free, vegan skincare line.
Oh, nice. Was it hard to get that?
It takes a minute. It's just down to even designing the labels. You question yourself, is this going to be good? Is this right? I'm texting the label proofs to 20 of my friends. Do you like it? What do you think? you know, there's a lot there, but you got to just jump in and do it. Win or lose, you just got to do it. You got to take a chance. Because I got so tired. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. No, and I just keep seeing all these other people get rich off of bullshit. I'm like, my shit could be better than that.
Right.
So here we go. I'm going to start it. So I'm going to get everyone's support.
Yes. Please, Bella Milan. And I love that it's organic because it's vegan. So what made you do vegan?
Because.
Are you vegan? Or?
No. I would like to be, but I just love seafood. And I love cheese. I can never give up cheese. I love cheese.
You have substitute. You ever taste the cheese for substitute?
That's like drinking a non-alcoholic beer for what?
I'm good on that. I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's what I be getting, y'all. Every time I try to introduce a vegan stuff.
My brother's a vegan, but I'm good. No, but it's just that I love animals. I'm also part of a pet charity called Celebrity Catwalk.
Oh, nice.
My two dogs have a page, Marge, Tiffany, and Ashley Gabor. They model. We raise money for local shelters, Yeah, Marge Tiffany's video went viral. Cardi B's sister Hennessy had posted her Halloween video, and it's gotten millions and millions of hits worldwide. And I didn't even plan on it. So my dog is more popping than I am.
What?
Yeah, I'm like, damn. So yes, they have a page on Instagram. It's at Marge Tiffany, the little chihuahuas. Marge Tiffany.
So we gotta follow Marge Tiffany.
My dog is popping.
So I'm trying to think with skincare. Like, we done ran through everything. Girl, you the best interviewer I ever had.
I got a lot of stuff. Yeah, you know, they say the average millionaire has more than 7 sources of income.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to get it from different ways. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, I tried getting a 9-to-5, and it just was not me. I felt like I was back in high school with all the little office clicky shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking that, but it just, I knew in my heart it wasn't for me. So, I was like, I can't. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so...
So what keeps you going, man? Because I feel like we touched on everything, but what keeps you going? Because I know a lot of people email me all the time just saying that, you know, they have a lot of hopes and dreams and things that they want to start, but they just don't have the drive. I mean, not the drive, but like, I guess the strength, or the courage to start it. Like, do you ever have down days or, you know?
Oh, yeah. What keeps me going? Well, a lot of, you know, it's no secret. I used to be a stripper. I worked in the strip clubs many years. A lot of things that keep me going is thinking, you know what, I could still be there. I could still be back there, because sometimes I go to these clubs and I still see girls that I used to dance with, and ain't nothing changed, they're just 10 years older. You know what I'm saying, doing the same shit. Just the hate too, the haters keep me going, the people that say I can't do it, and I'm like, my mother telling me I could never be
even
shit.
Even now, what about now? Does she see how successful you
are? I'm sure she does, we haven't spoken in 13 years. Because, you know, she's got her issues. So, you know, just because people in your family does not mean they have to be in your life. You can love them from a distance. If someone's toxic, they're toxic, whether they're related to you or not. So I made a conscious decision a long time ago to separate myself. And also, you know, my sister died of a drug overdose 2 summers ago from fentanyl. And it just made me realize how short life is and how she never really believed in herself and never took that leap of faith to go over and chase anything. Like her dream, she never even dared to dream. She was always, you know, plagued with depression and sorrow. And she always looked to a man for help. And, you know, she just never believed in herself. So it's kind of like I'm kind of believing in myself for her and for a lot of people in my life that just gave up. I cannot give up on myself. I will not. I refuse. No matter what comes my way, I will persevere and I will keep going, because a lot of people need what I have to give. And I feel like I'm at the beginning of my journey, just like, you know, you said you were at the beginning of this. There's a lot more people to help, there's a lot more money to make, and there's a lot more places to see and things to do that I want to do before my life is over. Because you never know.
I love that. Amen, guys.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Like, the biggest thing for me is when I have guests is that they touch my soul. Seriously. And life is hard. It really is. And it's like, you know, we walk around here with masks and we smile, you know, we just trying to get by. But when you have a soul and a fire burning in you and you ignite that, it's everything. It's everything. And you found that. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with me. You know, like, I feel like, you know, the way the devil was trying to come for me, that it wasn't going to be, you know, that I wasn't worth anything and I wasn't worth being here where I am today. But God told me something different.
That's right.
And I'm inspired. you know, Miss Ryan, my life. You're amazing.
Thank you. Give me a hug. I love
you. You gotta surround yourself with more. That's another thing. You know, you have to surround yourself, I'm sure, with people that's on the same page.
Got to.
And that's a challenge in itself.
If I'm the smartest person in the room, I don't want to be in that room.
Hello.
You know, my best friend is Dawn Florio. She is a powerful woman. She is a top criminal defense attorney with her own firm. One of her clients right now is Tekashi 6ix9ine. She is accomplished. But I've learned from her, not even just a great business acumen, but just that positivity, that kind of take no shit, but keep it classy. Where I used to be like, rah! She's like, Chrissy, calm down. It's better to ignore them. She has taught me kind of to be more of a gracious woman. You know what I'm saying? So I surround myself with people like Dawn, people that are accomplished, people that are educated. Whereas I used to want to save every little chicken head I used to come across in the club, and they could come over and hang out, and we're going to go out and meet guys and all that. I cut all that off a long time ago because I found that they were just draining me. Draining me with their problems and all that. Like, it was too much. I want somebody that's going to feed life into me, not that's just drain it out of me, an energy vampire.
That's right, yes.
So I'm very selective. My circle is very small, but it's quality. Yes, girl.
Same thing with me, girl. I think you'll be able to strive without that,
girl. No strays.
No strays. Bye. And it's like, that's something I've been preaching. Like, anytime I speak to people, when they ask me about just how do I stay strong, I said, well, for one, well, God, of course. And then two, who I surround myself with.
That's a reflection of you.
Exactly. And I want to learn. Like, I don't think I know everything. I know I don't know everything.
None of us will ever know.
Exactly. But if you surround yourself with people that don't want to even learn or, you know, open up their mind and get outside of the box, how are you ever going to get to the next level?
You're not. They're going to keep pulling you down because then they get resentful when you move to the next level and you achieve success or you get opportunities. Oh, she thinks she's all that. She thinks she's better than me. They start with all that bullshit.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you've been through it. I've been through it.
I'm just like...
So it's like, wow, shame on me for being successful. I guess I should just be back to hanging out with this bum bitch. And
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm good. Bye. Stay where you at, bitch.
Bye. Sorry if you feel like that, but I got to keep going.
That's it.
This is my life. And that's the thing. We all are in charge of our lives.
That's
so what you want to do with it is your, you know what I'm saying? That's on you. That's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. And
some people will never, ever accept that responsibility, though. They want all the gratification without the hard work, especially in this day and age of social media. You see these people on here flashing fake money, standing in front of cars that aren't theirs. It's so corny to me. Like, you didn't earn that. That's not yours.
Right.
Like, it's whack.
That's some serious issues when people do that.
I can't.
Like, how do you look in the mirror knowing that you
love it? They love it, though. They do it all the time.
That type of stuff.
I can't. Knowing they live with their mothers. 45 years old.
You.
Yes.
So, Chrissy, you have gotten a whole bunch of information. Mm-hmm. About all working with these doctors and everything in the plastic surgery business, you have gained a lot of wisdom, should I say, about all of that. The lipo, the boobs, the tummy tuck, all of that. Mm-hmm. Like the McDonald's of the plastic surgery in the Park Avenue kind of.
Yes.
So tell us about well, first of all, I should probably talk about the certain companies, right?
No, we can't name no names.
Can't name no
but
names.
You know who you are.
Okay, yeah, you know who you are.
Yes. They have a lot of commercials.
Mm-hmm. A lot of deals going on, too.
Yeah, girl, bye.
Yo.
So, tell us, without having to name any names, then, what can you tell the listeners about who's and nots? Like, you don't know who to go to and not to go to.
So let me give you a little bit of background. I started working for plastic surgeons quite a few years ago. I kind of just fell into the business as an influencer, and I really just fell in love with it. I love seeing before and afters. I used to watch that show, Extreme Makeover, The Swan. I've always been fascinated with transformation. And to me, it's a positive thing to go from, oh, I'm depressed and frumpy and sweatpants to, I'm the glamour queen, and I got my swag back. Yes, I love it. So I was like, you know what? I love making people feel good. It's all love. And I like helping people look good. So I learned the business. I really, really put in my time. I was working 5-6 days a week for a doctor in Brooklyn. Just learned everything. Then I advanced and I went to a doctor who was way more accomplished. He was a double board certified plastic surgeon over here in Paramus, who's currently on the Real Housewives of New Jersey with his wife Jennifer Aiden at Aiden Plastic Surgery. So working besides this man, he's a total genius. Like, this man has reattached hands. So he's not in just plastic, he's reconstructive. People that have gunshot wounds, car accidents, he really saves lives. So it's just, it was, you know, here I am, a high school dropout with a GED working along these brilliant surgeons. But I had taken that leap of faith and put myself in there. You know, people are like, oh, well, I don't have an opportunity. You got to get out and make opportunities.
Right.
I'm like, listen, I could sell. You need me in your office. Give me a job. I'm going to book these surgeries. So, boom. And I was excelling very well, booking a lot of surgeries. So I learned the business. I was doing the consultations in place of the doctors a lot of times, telling patients what they could, you know, benefit from, what they won't benefit from.
And they were doing everything, like just full body.
A lot of people. But, you know, what I started realizing was there's a lot of doctors who are not real cosmetic or plastic surgeons. I didn't know that the law for most states is if you have a medical license, doesn't matter what it is. It could be podiatry, it could be dermatologist, pediatrician, you can do lipo. Doesn't mean you're supposed to be like this, it's just what it is. So, you have a lot of these gynecologists, you have a lot of doctors who are not cosmetic or plastic surgeons doing plastic surgery.
And how is that?
They're doing it.
But people are dying. Huh?
But people are not asking. They're not asking what are your credentials when you come in. You're going into it, they call it a plastic surgery center, you believe it, you're going to get a plastic surgeon. They got 5 different doctors, maybe one of them is a plastic surgeon. The other ones are who knows what, family practice. Oh yeah, there's a lot of grimy shit that goes on in this industry, and then I started seeing the unethical stuff, selling things that you don't need, telling you you need this when you really don't, upselling the price, just total scamming these women, and it's just wrong. So I said, you know what, I need to start exposing this shit. So number one, I started a podcast with my partner, Elise DiPasquale. It's called The Plastic Podcast, where we interview patients who have been botched, doctors, just regular people that have had different procedures and stuff, to talk and show the public what really they went through, how it was, really raw shit, and have the doctors come on and tell you, the real surgeons, what it is and what it isn't. So it's, you know, we just started that, and then I started a company called the Plastic Surgery Connect. I work on Park Avenue now, and I also work on Madison Avenue. I'm at the heart of the city with the best.
So if a woman or a man goes in, right, and they, well, first of all, I guess they got to ask about what are their credentials to say. That's the first
thing. Absolutely. Always do your research. Do not book a surgery off of what you see on Instagram. I cannot stress this enough. A lot of these doctors on Instagram are photoshopping their after photos. This bullshit. You're not going to look like a Barbie a week after you just had a tummy tuck. You're going to be swollen. So it's a lie. Instagram is a liar. You know what I'm saying? So you need to just really do your research. You need to Google them. You need to ask, what are your credentials? Can I see your diplomas? You know, don't be afraid to ask.
You're spending. Come with your body too.
Yeah, this is your life. This is your body.
So do they have a real anesthesiologist in the room? You know what I'm saying?
I've heard stories. Miami has a high death rate. Colombia, Dominican Republic, they have cheap prices. Some of these, I call them lipo mills, are turning out 15, 20 surgeries a day. Okay. $3,000 for a BBL, which is a Brazilian butt lift, where you take all the fat from here and you put it in your butt. The doctor may be getting half, so he's not really making much. He don't give a shit what he does to you. They knock you out under general anesthesia, which is not even necessary for liposuction. You do not need to be put asleep for liposuction, okay? It's not that serious. A tummy tuck, yes. You don't know. You might see the doctor's face before you go to sleep. You don't know who's doing your lipo. It could be the cleaning lady doing your lipo. You don't know. That's one of the reasons they knock you out, because that's not even the doctor that's really doing your surgery. Horror stories. I meet with these women, they come in, they've been botched. They've been, you know, on blood thinners, things like that. They have blood clots, things like that, from being messed up.
From going to those third world countries.
Yeah, there's Dr. Cabral in DR. They call him the death doctor because he's had so many deaths, but women still go to him because he snatches bitches. I'd rather be not snatched than alive. How about that?
Where's he located?
He's in DR. DR, Colombia. He's in DR. Dr. Cabral. They call him the Lipo King. But he has death. They say he lets one live, lets one die. They make all kind of different jokes.
What?
Mm-hmm. So you got to really be careful.
Is it really that serious?
For some people it is. And it's sad because I get patients that come in and they're just like, okay, here, I want a book. I'm like, well, look, you only want to ask some questions. Don't you want to know something? No, I just want to touch this and da-da-da. Or they'll come in with like a picture of, what's her name? What's the one little stomach? Bernice. That's Bernice. They want the Bernice. I call it the Bernice. And I'm like, honey, you're 5'9", or you know, and 275 pounds. I don't care how much lipo we give you, you're not gonna look like Bernice. Well, why can't I? I said because it's not weight loss surgery, number one. Lipo is not for weight loss surgery. It's 5 liter limit in New York of how much. So think about two liter bottles of soda and a half. That's how much fat a doctor can take out of you, which is a lot of fat.
Hell yeah.
But if you're 300 pounds, that 5 liters isn't going to really make a difference. So I say, you know, you got to lose some weight and come back. We're not going to even take your money because you're not going to get the result that you are imagining. So it's also about managing the patient's expectations and being real. I've had women break down and cry. I have to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm not going to take your money, and then you're going to be mad that I don't got you looking like Bernice.
Right.
So it's a lot more, you know, just than I want to look like. It's the psychology behind it. But it's bigger than ever. With social media, plastic surgery is booming more than ever because everybody wants to look like a Kardashian or everybody wants to do this, which is cool, but it's not for everybody either. Natural is wonderful, but if you feel like you want to enhance yourself, do your homework. That's all. I can't say it even more. More stress it.
Mm-hmm. And how are the prices at the spot that you work out of there?
It varies. You know, what I like about Dr. Shakrian, who I mainly work with, is that he understands that it's a booming industry and there's competition. People are going to Miami. People are going to ER for, like, rock bottom prices. What we're doing is I'm helping him build his practice to offer quality care and results for moderate pricing. We don't want to give bargain basement prices, but we also don't want to give prices where nobody can even afford, because all they're going to do is just, oh, that's too high, I'm going to DR.
Right.
So we're at that happy medium, and it's working.
And you know what I want to ask you, for consultations, is there anything that would show a red flag to you, put up a red flag, like you go in, because I know I've been told a lot of times, like, they'll go in for a consultation and don't even ask them to take their clothes off. Like,
you just said it.
Basically.
You just said it. That's a red flag. How are you going to tell somebody what they need on their body when you can't even look at their body?
Right.
That's a major red flag.
Okay. Like, just so you know, guys, because I feel like people be so anxious to just get this transformation that they just say, oh, really? Oh, nice. Okay.
The doctor needs to touch your skin, the elasticity. Of course, a woman that's had 4 children, her skin is going to be thinner and more stretched out than a woman who hasn't had any children. There's a lot of factors. A doctor needs to examine you to give you a real, evaluation of what you need. I can't look at you right now and say, oh, Tisha, you need this and that. I can't see you. That's small. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's definitely a red flag. And then also, don't be lured by a lot of these prices that you see on Instagram. I don't post prices. We don't post prices because each and every person is different. How can you say a lipo BBL is $8,000 for everybody? No, you may need a lot more work than somebody that's this tiny, and she might only need a little bit of lipo to get. You know what I'm saying? Then we can lower the price. So, you know, a lot of these places will lure you in with one price, and then you get in there, and it's a bait, and then they add on a bunch of different stuff. So there's a lot of factors.
And then I wanted to ask you, myself personally, I had seen you on your page where you were getting something like that. Girl, I need that. Like,
yes.
Like, your butt was looking real smooth.
Yes.
Skin, everything. Like,
yes. Okay, so that's my, you're so cute. My friend's post-op place in Queens. So post-op care is also a big factor. A lot of surgeons don't tell you about. You need to take care of yourself more after the surgery, so you don't ruin your results. Your aftercare is everything, because especially when you have lipo, that skin has to be attached back to that muscle because we took out that fat. You're going to have to wear a faja for about 3 months. Like, it's...
For what? For
after your surgery. Because it needs to mold. and stick back where it's supposed to go. You don't want that extra loose skin because you're not wearing a compression garment. It's compressing you and making everything tight.
Yes.
So when you, after you get lipo, usually 2 days later, you're gonna go to a post-op place. That's where you saw me in Queens. They're gonna push out all that excess anesthesia and extra fluid that's been in your body. It's gonna help alleviate a lot of the swelling. So what you saw me doing was the cellulite treatment where they just go in, they usually use these wooden things. It's kind of like a Colombian thing that a lot of Colombian women do with the cellulite, because cellulite, those little bands that kind of separate the fat, it kind of breaks up those bands.
Oh, really? And it works?
I mean, not just one time. You got to go at least 10 times. You got to, it's something you got to maintain.
Okay.
Because it's all about circulation. But it, I definitely have seen an improvement. I'm 46 years old. I think I look pretty good. So, yes. So, there's all kind of different things, surgical and non-surgical, that you can do. I never try to talk anyone into surgery. If you come to me and you ask me what it is, I'm going to tell you. But it's ultimately your decision to go ahead. But I also do refer people to non-surgical treatments if I feel like they really don't need surgery. Like, some people just OD. Like, I'm like, what's that? I'm like, girl, you don't have no fat to suck out. But I guess I do. And it'd be this little, I'm like, girl, bye. If you don't get out of here, you're
right.
Yeah. So, yes. Say
yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. So you do that for 5-6 days a week?
No, I pretty much go in. I work with two main doctors. One is on Madison, and I work with one on Park Avenue. So I have my different days where the patients come in. I'm kind of like a concierge service as well. So I kind of guide my patients through before, during, and after the process. Because the surgeon does not have time to pamper you 24/7, but I do. I can answer your call. I can tell you, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. So I'm kind of like their friend while they're going through the process.
So how is a lot of people that you get now?
It's a lot. But I only offer that if you book. Like, don't be blowing up my phone and asking me a million questions. Come in for a free consultation. Pay your money, then we could be besties. Girl, they will drive me crazy.
Imagine. Oh,
and I'll be like, where do you live? Oh, I'm in Hawaii. I'm like, you ain't coming to spend no money. Get off my phone.
Right.
I'm like, look for a good doctor. I may even ask or find a good doctor in that area. Say, maybe check him out. Somebody that's, you know, certified. You know, real. Not some.
So we got a, what's the name of your concierge? We got to plug in all of these things.
It's called the Plastic Surgery Connect.
Yes.
.com. It's going to be .com. I got the cards. I got my business, www.theplasticsurgeryconnect.com. So actually, Elise, my partner from the podcast, is building the site right now. So, yeah.
So, you got a lot of information right now. So, I want to give the audience a chance to ask Chrissy some questions, please, because I don't feel like I've asked enough. Anyone with questions?
So,
Christy,
what's your worst experience for the
botch
surgery?
That
botch.
I've seen?
Botch.
I thought you said
botch.
Hold on,
ask that question.
What's the worst story you heard about a botch surgery? The worst story you heard about a botch surgery.
The worst story that I've heard. Well, actually, I'm thinking, because there's so many. Which one?
Infected tummy tucks.
Oh yeah, the infected tummy tucks, which is quite actually a common thing, where you're getting doctors who are not even cosmetic or plastic surgeons doing tummy tucks, and then I see them, they come into the office like for their post-op appointments, and it's all like green and black and pussy and nasty, and it's like the stitching looks like a two-year-old stitched them up.
What?
And the sad part is, some of these women don't even realize it's a bad job. And they're happy with it.
So wait a minute. Okay.
And the doctor will just lie and say, oh, it's going to heal, it's going to be better. It's horrific. It's really bad. It's like you would have been better off not even getting a tummy tuck.
And that's here in the States?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I've had a grandmother, the mother, and a daughter, Dominican, family. They came in to see me one time. Babe, is there anything you can do for us today? Addicts. The whole family were plastic surgery addicts. The grandmother had a scar all the way around her torso because she had already had a full body lift. A body lift is when your skin is sagging. They pull it all up, cut it, and then they tighten it and they sew it back to the top of the torso. Mm-hmm. This woman must have been about 70 years old, and she had theirs and everything. The mother had everything done, and then the daughter, who was about maybe 30, was like, oh, she had everything done. Can you give us something? I said, no. You guys have had everything done. You don't need it. Oh, but can you do some fillers? Their lips were already like this. There's people that are addicts. And if we tell them no, they just want to go somewhere else. And I told them no. I don't care. I don't want to be responsible for that shit. But they sleep like a crackhead. They're going to go out and legally just, I mean, they're going to literally go out and just seek out anybody that's going to do a procedure for them. They need that fix. So I see that all the time. It's crazy. Yeah, like you don't need anything else. But they believe in their mind that is. And I tell women all the time, changing something in your body is not going to change your life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're still going to be you. You know what I'm saying? I tell some of these girls, why instead of taking a class or something, like something to enrich your mind instead of thinking about this, they get insulted. So I just leave it alone.
Yeah. What's the youngest age in females that have come? Because I heard in Colombia, like instead of a quinceañera, they're like, give me big boobs instead. I'd rather that than a celebration. So like, what's the youngest age?
He was 18. I had a girl coming in, spoiled little girl, rich girl, begging for butt implants. She had no ass. I'm talking no ass, like flat as this wall. She had already had everything else. She was cute. She had like the blonde hair. 18. She's like, oh, the kids at school make fun of me.